Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Glad to be with you this Wednesday, October 16th. As we continue our conversation this week on choices in education, it's been a good conversation and to the middle of our second week in this conversation. Yesterday, we got to talk with Lutheran grade schools, K through 8 schools. Today, we're going to step up another level, continue our education, go on to high school. We're going to talk with our friends from Lutheran high schools. How can a Lutheran high school education be valuable to your family? So if you'd like to join the conversation today, you can do so. In the St. Louis area, the number is 314-821-0850. Outside of St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727. Or you can send an email to family@kfuo.org. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, go to our website, kfuo.org. Then go to the sponsor section. Click on the CUW logo, and that'll take you to their page. You can find out all about the great programs that CUW has to offer around the globe, including right here in St. Louis. So St. Louis and many other cities are blessed with great education when it comes to Lutheran education. Lots of schools. Here in the St. Louis area, we have a lot of Lutheran preschools, grade schools, and high schools. And that's the case in other cities around the country as well. And really around the globe, we have Lutheran schools all over. But we have two of those great schools represented this morning. Joining us in the studio this morning, we have Tim Brockman from Lutheran High School North. Lutheran, did I get it backwards?
That's right.
Lutheran,
you got it.
Lutheran High School North here in St. Louis. And Brian Reihard from Lutheran High School South here in St. Louis, both principals. So I guess I must be in trouble because I'm not going to the principal's office. The principals came to me. So that must mean like even bigger trouble, right?
Well, we're a full service school. You don't have to be there for us to try to help.
So thank you, gentlemen, for being here this morning. I appreciate your time and coming to talk with us about Lutheran schools. What is... Well, tell us a little bit about the history of your schools. There's Lutheran High School Association here in St. Louis that has been around for a while. I know as I grew up, I'm a St. Louis boy. I grew up south of the St. Louis area. And I remember hearing a little bit about Lutheran High School. I didn't go to a Lutheran high school, but hearing about it. So I know it's been around for a while. Tell us about Lutheran High School Association and how North and South have been around for a while and a little bit of the history. Start with you, Brian.
Thanks, Andy. They started out here in St. Louis with one Lutheran high school, known as Lutheran High, and if I recall correctly, it was down at Lake and Waterman, and we still have alums from Lutheran High who are very involved in the ministry of our schools. Then in the late 50s, Lutheran South came along, and then I think it was 1965, Lutheran North came along, and Lutheran Central it became then Lutheran Central, the original high school, ceased to be, and the two branches had split off.
So it's been around for quite a while.
We celebrated 50 years 3 years ago.
That's quite a celebration. So tell us a little bit about Lutheran North, and then we'll come back and talk about South as well. Tell us, how long have you been there, Mr. Brackman?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Andy. I've actually been at Lutheran North since 1996, came to the school as a teacher. I started teaching math and business courses and then gradually adjusted roles. I was part-time teaching, part-time administration, and eventually moved into the principal's role. So this is my third year as the principal. Really, just a joy to come to work every day. We've got great students, great teachers, a lot of excitement in the building, as you would expect probably in any high school. We're about 300 students and a really close-knit community. We like to talk about family really enjoy the history and tradition. Both of our schools just celebrated homecoming last week, and it's fun to watch as the alums from not just years but decades come back and have great stories to tell about their high school experience.
How would you describe the community that you serve or the area that you serve? How large is that area? And describe the neighborhood, the community.
Sure. The immediate community is right. If people are unfamiliar, I always tell people, you know, it's 70 and Lucas and Hunt, not too far from the airport, our UMSL's campus, just north of Highway 70, right next to Norwood Hills Golf Course. So we're surrounded by a beautiful golf course. Our reach in terms of our community of, if you mean community in terms of where do families come from, mm-hmm. who are we serving in that way, it's really quite broad. Many of our families come from North County, but we certainly draw from, you know, in the city of St. Louis, occasionally a student from the Illinois side or maybe someone from St. Charles. But it's really, you know, quite a broad reach in terms of that that population mm-hmm. that we're drawing from. 62 churches, I think, Lutheran churches in the association that serve both Lutheran North and Lutheran South. So, you know, we're really very appreciative and, mm-hmm. and dependent upon our congregations to support us as well.
And Lutheran South serves, tell us a little bit about the school and the community.
Okay, we are located at the junction of Highway 21 and Highway 30, Gravois and Tesson Ferry, in the Afton area. We serve a population that reaches south to Peavely, mm-hmm. out to Hillsboro. We've started to draw kids from Illinois, as a matter of course. South City, every so often one from North County, although the vast majority of those young people go to our sister school. And St. Charles as well, West County. Really a startlingly wide geographical area.
Mm-hmm. And St. Louis is, obviously there are a lot of Lutherans around the St. Louis area. There are two other Lutheran high schools outside of the association as well that are out in St. Charles. There's Lutheran High School of St. Charles and then Metro East, which is a little bit further out. That's in Edwardsville, I believe. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So there are, in essence, covering the whole St. Louis area, there are at least four Lutheran high schools that really serve this area too in this association. So the St. Louis area is really covered. There are some cities that may have only one high school or no Lutheran high school. And I'm sure that we have listeners today who are in those areas who are trying to figure out, what do I do? You know, they've gone through K through 8 and now trying to figure out, you know, what school, what do we choose next? I know my sister-in-law and brother-in-law and niece are trying to figure that out next year. Mm-hmm. So my niece is in 8th grade and they don't have a Lutheran high school in their area. So they're trying to figure that out. Why is a Lutheran high school education valuable? Why is a Lutheran high school something that families might want to consider for their child, whether they've gone to a Lutheran grade school or not prior to that point? What do you think?
There's a wide variety of reasons. The fundamental reason would align with the same reason someone would choose to go to a Lutheran church. You want your children to be grounded in God's word, in law and gospel, and you want them to be in a situation where God's love and his word are spoken into their lives every day by all of the significant adults in their world. There's plenty of time coming for most kids in college mm-hmm. where there'll be people speaking other things into their lives. And part of our goal is to prepare our young people for the spiritual onslaught that waits for them.
And the years after high school, even high school, you know, outside of a Lutheran high school, they're faced with those struggles all the lies that the world, all the things that the world brings forth that they're faced with beyond and outside of high school, they're faced with those.
Yeah. Our kids face those struggles too. One of the big differences is that the significant adults in their lives are working with parents to support them spiritually and to mm-hmm. pray for them and to make sure that they don't wander off the path. It's very much a partnership.
You've mentioned significant adults. When we think of high schools, we think, okay, principal, teacher, you know, and teachers. Mm-hmm. Who are those significant adults? There are more than just teachers and a principal that make up that high school experience.
Ordinarily, a coach has more influence than anybody else, in all honesty. And Tim, I know, is doing some coaching still.
Yeah, that's where I jumped right away to, is the teachers certainly day-to-day, if you're talking about direct connection with students, that our faculty and our staffs, are right there with the students, knowing day to day what's going on in their lives. But then those coaches also are spending oftentimes several hours a day. And of course, sometimes it's nights, it's weekends, where you're going to games or tournaments or practices, and that outside of the regular classroom, but still in the educational setting, is just so formative and really a special time for athletes. And for us to have the chance to bring that Christian component to the competition of athletics is really a special treat.
How, if students are spending so much time with teachers and coaches, how are those teachers and coaches chosen? What does it take to be a Lutheran teacher? What does it take to be a coach to serve in a Lutheran high school? What type of preparation is needed? What do you look for when you're looking for teachers and coaches?
Sure. Great. Well, that's a broad question, but certainly you want someone that a simple answer might be, I want someone that I would be comfortable with my kids in front of, in front of my children, frankly. We probably start almost always, if possible, with our Concordia University system, where we know that students have been trained up in that Lutheran tradition, not only the faith, but the educational stronghold of our Lutheran schools. And that's always a great starting point. We're looking for probably a combination of someone who understands the Lutheran teachings, the law and the gospel, but also someone who's excellent in the classroom. And don't ever want to sacrifice either of those in terms of the education of our children. You know, we want that daily role model, that Christian shepherd, but we also want the person who's going to be a master at their craft, their subject area, so that they can prepare students for college as well.
What does... Obviously, the relationship between the students and the faculty, the coaches, that's an important relationship, and so having faithful Christians who are there teaching is important. What other aspects of faith and spiritual life are part of Christian education at a Lutheran high school?
We are focused, both of our schools, on leadership development. Jesus told us to go out, actually he said we are salt and light. And so we're trying to equip our young people through experiences they have inside the school and outside to have an influence on the world in whatever place that God puts them. I tell our kids routinely, the most important job you will ever have is raising your own children in the faith, and that you cannot abdicate. You can't give it to anyone else. That's the most important thing, whether you're the president of the United States or the dog catcher. That's still your first job.
And how does that... Go ahead.
I was going to say, if I could just piggyback on top of that. One of the really special things is that we have chapel, worship time every day in our schools. Wow. 4 days a week at Lutheran North. I think 3 days a week at Lutheran South. It's a corporate worship time. And then to build on what Brian's talking about, a couple days a week in our schools, we have what we call... peer ministers at North, where the students are actually leading other students in a devotional time. There's a small grouping of students, maybe 12 or 15. There's always a teacher there, but it's my job as a teacher just to be a participant. And so, we're teaching students daily, weekly, how to lead in many ways, some of which might just be how to pray with your peers, how to lead a devotion and so forth. And that's really, I think, one of the reasons why the atmosphere in our buildings is so amazing is every day we've got a time set aside to just hear the word, worship our Savior, confess our sins, and that really helps throughout the whole day. It's pretty awesome, really.
To start the day or to continue the day in the word, to be surrounded by that word.
Right.
Are there, you mentioned leadership development. Are there opportunities for developing those leadership skills and service through service opportunities beyond maybe in the classroom, but beyond the classroom in the community or around the globe? What types of opportunities are there for students to be servants?
Okay. Like many schools, and not just our Lutheran schools, we have service hours required of our young people. And for some of them, that's the nudge that gets them to serve. For others, they're doing four and five times the required hours just because, and usually it's because that's what their parents have taught them.
Mm-hmm.
What we really try to foster is a leadership mentality, but as you mentioned, leadership as a servant, that your job, our job, is to affect someone else's world in a way that blesses them and pleases the Lord, and our concerns have to follow somewhere further down the line. We do the same thing that Lutheran North does. We have our small group ministry that the children lead. They write and deliver chapels. They right now we've got a couple of young people who are working with the Written on Their Arms Foundation, and we're raising funds and awareness for people who have mental illness. When we encourage them that when an opportunity shows up for them to help change whatever little corner of the world, we encourage them to go ahead and do it. And our role is to not even so much facilitate it, but to encourage it and maybe to help foresee some of the issues and difficulties they'll come up with so that they can plan ahead. These young people are extraordinary.
What are some of the projects that you mentioned Written on Their Arm? What are some of the projects that they've come up with and taken on through service projects around the globe, and some of them that have been really challenging, some of them that have just flourished?
We've got a partnership with a Lutheran high school in Ramagana, Rwanda.
Wow.
This past year, we worked through early Christmas season to give them a Christmas present of solar cells and a battery. Because it's really alien to us, but when their battery runs out, their kids can't do homework. Our assistant principal traveled over there and has gotten us deeper and deeper in a relationship with them. We've had days without shoes. We've worked with the shoe man. We do the leukemia walk, the breast cancer, pretty much anything, hunger drives. We work with Lutheran Family Children's Services. Any need that presents itself, we end up involved because the kids have hearts that have been prepared by their parents and by their time in the Word, and they know they should do something about it, and they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get to help.
Any other words on service?
Yeah, just a couple quick things. One of the things that's really fun to watch is when you have a student who will come to one of us and say, hey, I'd like to do such and such. Would you allow us? Kind of a thing. As a quick example, two quick examples. Last year, one of our students did a shoe drive similar to what Brian just mentioned, but totally he coordinated the whole thing himself and got up in front of the whole student body, made the signs, had the announcements, delivered, you know, the shoes with some of his friends. This year, it was a young lady who struggles with diabetes, and so she wanted to raise money for children's hospitals and, funds that would help prohibit or do medical research and so forth. And so, she again coordinated a dress down day and brought bracelets for the kids and, you know, just raised some funds. But it's neat to see, and that's not us tooting our own horn, but it's great when the students recognize we really are truly blessed and what can I do? And when we see them already at the high school level doing these things, you just know as they get older that those types of attitudes are going to multiply, and they'll probably be out there just doing this for years and years and years, and hopefully encouraging some of their other friends, hey, that wasn't so hard. Maybe I can go do something as well. So.
What about the feedback from students after they do those projects? Do you get to hear those stories, how it's impacted them, how serving in the project in Rwanda, the projects that the students have worked on? What do you hear back from the students?
The three of our students who went over to Rwanda the last time, it's absolutely life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't do a lot of mission trips because so many of our congregations do with their youth groups, and that happens in the summer, and we absolutely want to keep our young people connected with their congregations.
Mm-hmm.
We serve them for a season of their life, but we don't do sacrament ministry. We can't do all of the things they need from a church. But It's funny. It ranges everything from, it's okay, no problem, to, wow, that's just the greatest thing that's ever happened, and this is now what I want to do with my life. I want to be a social worker or a missionary or something of that nature.
Wow.
You know what's kind of fun to see is, and this is a different program that we have called Faith in Action Day, where once in the fall semester and once in the spring semester, we as schools take our students out into the community, actually take part of a day off of school, bus the students all over the St. Louis area to do ministry. And it's really neat when they come back and they say, I thought we were supposed to go serve, but I felt like I got more out of the day. I grew through the service. And then you sort of know, okay, it's working. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the projects they do around St. Louis? What are some of the things they do on a day like that?
Yeah, it can really range because in our case, taking 300 students out, requires a lot of different job sites. So we might just send one small group to a preschool or a daycare, an adult facility, and let students interact with kids or older folks. But oftentimes it's more what might be seen as more menial tasks. You know, we might be going to a park and cleaning up litter or sticks and raking leaves, helping improve a flower garden, or food banks certainly benefit if we can bring in a group of students and they can package food for the homeless or those in need. Go to Otis Woodard's place in North St. Louis and serve there for a day. So really a wide variety of sites, but it's always kind of a special day.
It's interesting how much we learn through acts of service and mercy. It's amazing how much we can learn and we gain through that. So it's great to hear that that's happening in our Lutheran high schools in such formative years for our students. In just a little bit, we will need to take a break. Some other things that I'd like to talk about today, how do Lutheran high school students perform in comparison to other students from other schools, whether it be public schools or maybe what we might call other private schools? How do Lutheran students perform academically? What do their futures look like? Where are Lutheran high school students usually headed after Lutheran high school? And extracurriculars, what are the extracurriculars that our students are participating in at Lutheran high schools? Those are all things that I think our listeners might be interested in. Speaking of our listeners, if you want to join the conversation today or if you have a question for our guests, you can call the studio here in St. Louis at 314-821-0850. Outside of St. Louis, toll free at 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us your questions. Send your emails to family@kfuo.org. So lots of things make up great Lutheran schools, and looking forward to continuing to talk about those here in just a little bit when we come back right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I and other pro-life leaders have warned from the beginning that Obamacare would lead to rationing. Let's put a real face on it. Michael Serpak is a middle-class man in Arizona. He has a leukemia that requires expensive treatment as long as he lives. Without it, he'll die. Michael was informed by his insurance company that beginning January 1st, they're dropping his coverage because of Obamacare. He's already running two businesses, but he may have to get a third job just to pay for his health care. My friends, we're going to see people just like Michael denied life-sustaining health care. I don't think it's alarmist to say in the future there'll be far more open beds in nursing homes and fewer Americans living with chronic health problems. Ask yourself this question, am I next?
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Live Wednesday on Issues Etc. we'll have Dr. Georgia Purdom of Answers in Genesis respond to Bill Nye, the science guy's assertion that humans are made of stardust. We'll also discuss Confessing Christ in Marriage with Dr. Peter Scare of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
In 2017, Christianity will celebrate the 500th year of the Lutheran Reformation. In anticipation of this worldwide event, Worldwide KFUO is proud to present New York Metropolitan Opera star Janet Hopkins in a musical drama as told from the mind of Katharina von Bora Luther. This modern opera is performed in English. The music is melodic and fresh. Composer Dr. Glenn Winters has masterfully woven Lutheran hymnody into the score, which makes for an exciting work of art that faithfully represents Katie Luther and the Reformation. This must-see performance will be Friday, October 25th, 7 p.m. at Concordia Seminary in Clayton. For tickets, go to www.itickets.com and search for Katie Luther, or by phone at 800-965-9324. That's 800-965-9324.
A major celebration is planned next month for the 95th birthday of evangelist Billy Graham. The Reverend Franklin Graham says,
"My father has about 600 to 700 people that he's inviting to a birthday party. And my role is to try to get through that night."
Franklin Graham says those invited to the November 7th party in Asheville, North Carolina, include Bill Clinton, Sarah Palin, and Donald Trump. The elder Graham will attend but won't give a speech. For his 95th birthday, the ministry is releasing a new video of Billy Graham as part of a nationwide religious outreach called My Hope America. Franklin Graham says,
"We now have released the film to churches to watch and for preachers now to know what they're asking their congregations to see. And so the numbers are increasing dramatically every day now as we get closer to November 7th.
Franklin says his father has round-the-clock care but still thinks and speaks clearly. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Continuing our conversation on choices in education this week, and today we're talking with our friends from Lutheran High School North and Lutheran High School South here in St. Louis, and we know that education, when it comes to Lutheran high schools, there are more than just St. Louis, so we'll broaden the conversation. We're going to go to our listener today. Cheryl, thanks for calling. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Both of my children attended the Lutheran High School that we have here in Indianapolis. We only have one. This was about 12 years ago when my daughter was there, and we had some problems with the way the religion courses were set up. I was just wondering how your religion courses are set up.
So how does religious instruction happen at a Lutheran high school? Thanks for calling, Cheryl.
At Lutheran South, we have started to have more international students with absolutely no background in Christianity at all. And so we've instituted a basic Christianity class, base level stuff that, you know, our kids learn in confirmation. They learn coming up through Lutheran school. They learn going to church on Sunday. We've had to change that to serve that particular element of our students. I guess you could call them native students. and we take Old Testament in the freshman year, mm-hmm. New Testament in their sophomore year, and then we've got a variety of electives for their junior and senior years from which they're able to choose. Neighbors, apologetics, Christian leadership, worship in the arts, and there's another four or five that aren't springing to mind right now. We want them to be able to grow and take theology classes beyond what's required. It's been pretty popular so far.
And at North?
Sure. Yeah, quite similar, I think. I guess I'd like to just point out that we're talking about the specific instruction in the religion courses. One could argue that religious instruction happens throughout the day mm-hmm. in all of our classes, and to a certain degree, we're intentional about that. We encourage teachers to open class with prayer and so forth. But I'm assuming the intent of the question was specific to the religion curriculum, and so in that way, we're quite similar. Our students take a religion class each year. It's a semester course. We also have what we call Introduction to Lutheranism or Introduction to Christianity for a small percentage of our students. And then I think very similar to what Brian said, Old Testament studies in the freshman year, New Testament in the sophomore year. Our junior year course is a class called Church History. And then senior year is class called Seminar on Christian Living. And the intent of that senior year class is to sort of pull it all together, I think. Hmm. We've taught you about the Bible and the history. We've shown you a little bit about service over your 4 years. How can we not assure, but be more assured that when you leave our place and go on with your adult lives, that you're really, truly prepared to live that life that Christ wants us to live?
And I'm sure, like you said, you have students that come from all kinds of different backgrounds. Not every student comes from a Lutheran background. Not every student who comes in as identified as a Lutheran has had a strong background in catechesis or Bible history. And so being able to serve all of those students and to bring everybody together to teach that faith is, I'm sure, challenging. And it sounds like you've tried to cover as many aspects of it as you can and approach those different students with different needs. Speaking of students with different needs, one question I think parents might have if they're looking at a Lutheran high school as a choice, as an option for education, if you have a student with special needs, a student with a learning disability or a physical disability, are there options, are there opportunities for those students at Lutheran high schools?
Absolutely. We believe it's part of our mission to serve as many of God's children as we possibly can. At Lutheran South, 15% to 20%, depending, of our student body receives special ed services at any given time. We have one teacher fully devoted to that and a partial slice of another four different teachers' time that's devoted to trying to make sure that we can give Christian education to the widest variety of young people that we can.
That's it. Tim?
Yeah, and similarly at Lutheran North, we typically would enroll 10 to 15% of students who might have special needs, have an IEP and so forth. We do have a dedicated resource room teacher. One of the things, though, that we do in our programs is basically the students are mainstreamed. So we want them in the curriculum, the regular mm-hmm. curriculum, as much as possible, and yet we're able to provide them the support. Maybe that's a block or two with a special resource teacher, for example. But we want those students in the mainstream and along with their peers as much as we possibly can.
When it comes to academics, you mentioned earlier that you don't want to compromise when it comes to academics. You don't want to compromise when it comes to teaching the faith and matters of faith. What do academics look like at a Lutheran high school? When you're talking about in comparison to other schools, what do academics look like? I know that we have students that come from all kinds of backgrounds, but what do academics look like?
Yeah, great question, Andy. If I could back up just a little bit, and I think sort of pull together what we've been talking about in various areas here. Right in our mission statement at Lutheran North, the first portion of that is that we're a diverse educational community whose unity is in Jesus Christ. And we've been talking about a lot of that diversity. as Brian said, we don't want to be limiting to students. We want to reach as many of God's children as we can. We have a wide variety of students, racially, ethnically, socioeconomically, educational background, and so forth. And yet, the goal for virtually all of our students is to further their education, and that's almost always college. So we traditionally have 99% of our students who go on to colleges. Almost all those are four-year colleges. Last year's class was 88% that went to four-year colleges and 11% that went to two-year schools. And that's always kind of in that 90-10 range. Mm-hmm. Not that a student can't be successful and enter the job, the workforce right away, or go to the military or whatever it may be. But for the most part, our students are certainly in a college prep environment, and that's something that we advertise and strive for and what we teach to. That being said, since we are accepting a wide range of different students, we get everything from those who will attend a smaller parochial or private school or a community college up to the big university of fill in the blank, as I like to call it. and your highly selectives, you know, your Wash U's and so forth of the country. So
mm-hmm. Academically, Brian?
Well, our missions are college prep, and in a similar fashion, 99% of our kids go on to college. That includes all of our kids who get extra help. I consider that a huge triumph. It is the one of the first questions I ask when an alumni comes back, and they do, mm-hmm. and it's wonderful. And they're always welcome in case any of them are listening. You guys come back whenever you want. I always ask them, do you feel prepared? And over again, I hear this theme recurring. Yeah, my senior year at South was harder than my first year of college. or a comment that I heard just 2 days ago from one of our alums. That, well, do you feel prepared? And she said, yeah, I can write. And she was in a freshman class at a pretty selective university, and the teacher was telling me, well, here's how you write a research paper, and she told me, she was sitting there, you know what, I got all this already. Mm-hmm. You know, our English department nailed it.
Not every student has that skill when they go to college. Having worked in higher education myself, I know that not every student comes to college prepared to write.
Well, it is one of the things that we focus on. And again, our English staff works very hard. All of our staff work very hard, mm-hmm. To make sure the kids are ready for the next level.
Being, you know, with many of your students being college prep right now, and knowing that there's a very, very good chance that down the road, especially in North America, in the U.S., that there may be a big change in higher education and college in the next decade or so, as we look at vocation and careers and job outlook, the types of jobs that are going to be available, and knowing that four-year colleges may not necessarily always be the first choice. Do you have students that are looking at, have you had students that have come through looking at more vocational training or career in tech ed type programs that are they're coming to Lutheran South or Lutheran North, not necessarily because they're college bound, but because they're looking at going into a career. You mentioned military as an option. Mm-hmm. Knowing that right now there's a huge number of students graduating from college and grad school with degrees, but can't find jobs can't find jobs that require those degrees. Instead, they're finding that the jobs that are available are jobs that don't require those degrees. Maybe a high school diploma, maybe an associate's degree. So maybe they're headed to community college. Maybe they're going to a technical school. Are you seeing any changes or are anything to prepare for that down the road?
That hasn't really taken hold yet. Mm-hmm. The change you're describing, you know, it may well happen. Mm-hmm. What we've done is we have adopted a model of, it's called, the tag word is 21st century learning, that tries to prepare the young people with a set of skills, and competencies that'll be transferable. The ones we've used are, we call it the four C's: communication, collaboration, critical thinking, and creativity. Mm-hmm. And if by the educational experiences we give them, we foster that and we teach that, and the kids come out with those skills, they'll be able to do well whichever job market mm-hmm. they enter. It's the same thing we see when they go to write as freshmen. If we can prepare them well, mm-hmm. They will be able to be successful. And that's what we're targeting, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well stated, Brian. And I think the other area that we're not fully engaged in yet, but exploring, is the whole area of online courses. And again, Andy, as you were saying that, what jumped to my mind is change in the university structure that we might see over the next several years. Will that traditional four-year experience that we grew up knowing be the traditional experience of the future? And I'm not sure that it will be. I guess it could be in certain areas. But as you continue to see more and more colleges looking at online options and students that are clamoring for that, we're trying to stay ahead of the curve there too. And we're not quite there yet in terms of offering a broad spectrum of online courses at our schools. I think that'll come, but the fact that we've instituted a one-to-one program where every student does have an iPad is a step in that direction, and opens up new doors for our students to take advantage of technology, whether during the school day or at home, and even over the summers and so forth.
Which brings me to another question. What role does technology play in education today in a Lutheran high school? You mentioned iPads, right, and that one-to-one aspect.
I think it's huge, but I think it's one more tool. No piece of technology will replace a great, great educational structure, great teachers, and that sort of thing. But it is something that we, the technology is front and center every day with our students. And probably the focus is becoming less teacher-directed in some areas and more student-directed learning. And the technology makes that certainly a lot easier to implement.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts on technology?
Technology has become much less of it used to be a class. Mm-hmm. You take a computer class.
Right.
And we still have one of those. It's basically to teach the applications. It's an elective. Some of the young people take it. They learn word processing and spreadsheets and database and other useful things. Mm-hmm. And some of the young people come to us with that knowledge already in place. Tim's right. The technology is a tool. It's a tool that makes it easy in many ways for us to encourage the young people in those four C's skills. Mm-hmm. We have shifted in some ways from being the people who have the information to the people who structure the experience so that the young people can find the information. And then we structure it to where they'll now know, we give them a task and give them practice using that information. And then we have them give us a product based on what they've learned, and there's a lot more group learning. And in a project that simply, we've got all the four C's. They're used to being in a work group. They're used to using the technology, trying to find a creative and interesting way to communicate it. It's been a great tool.
And this generation, they're digital natives. They're used to using technology in every aspect of life. So it's very comfortable for them. Mm-hmm. A generation or two back, you're right, it was a class and we had to learn about the technology for the first time in the class rather than in other aspects of life. I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about extracurricular activities. When it comes to Lutheran high schools, when it comes to public schools, there are some large districts that just have every sport under the sun and every extracurricular activity you can think of. Do students have extracurricular activity opportunities at Lutheran high schools? Tim?
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting that the way this conversation has gone, by the way, is right in line with what we tell parents all the time. When students and families come to our schools, we want them to grow three ways: spiritually, first and foremost, which is kind of where we started the hour. Academically, we want to prepare you for the next steps. And then we use the word holistically, which basically just means we want you to get involved in a lot of different activities.
Mm-hmm.
One of the beauties of a little bit smaller school is students are able to get involved in a lot of different activities. And one of the things I think that our schools do a really good job of is we're not real territorial about our kids. coaches are encouraging athletes to play multiple sports. It's okay to be in the band and also be on the baseball team or to participate in the fall play. And then instead of the spring musical, you're playing soccer or for the girls or whatever it may be. So, yes, lots of activities, both athletic and other co-curricular clubs and so forth.
Brian?
At Lutheran South, in the neighborhood of 65% of our young people participate in an athletic extracurric, which is a really, really high percentage. And we don't mandate extracurricular participation. It certainly is part of our goals. I mean, there are things you can learn from sport in particular that I think stand young people in very good stead when they become parents. You learn self-sacrifice. You learn to soldier through it when you're tired or in pain. And as a new parent, you know that those are useful skills.
Yes. We've also learned when to pass. Your turn.
It's also an opportunity for them to broaden their horizons as much as possible, to meet different kinds of people with different kinds of proclivities and abilities, and it mixes them up nicely.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at our Wind Symphony, 70% of them are in a sport while they're in the Wind Symphony, which is a class. Jazz band is the same thing. There's just an incredible amount of crossover. And Tim's right. At a larger school, it can be a lot more you have to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And we try very hard to leave the options as open for our young people as possible. That said, there's also a lot of new extracurriculars that pop up every now and then. We now have developed in the last 2 weeks at Lutheran South a movie club. It's another leadership opportunity for the young people. They had an interest. They found a sponsor. They're going to run the thing. And so those young people will not only have a group of folks to get with and spend time with and grow with, they'll also have the opportunity to have organized something, to have done some troubleshooting. Good experiences.
Great, great. You know, on the higher ed level, a couple of weeks ago, we spent a whole week talking about movies and faith, the relationship mm-hmm. between faith and movies, and taking looking at movies from a Lutheran worldview, and great conversation. So I have some great resources I can point them to if they need any. So extracurricular activities are certainly an option, are available, readily available for students at Lutheran high schools. What about, we talked briefly at the beginning of the show about the communities you serve, but I know you want to talk a little bit more about who you serve. Who are the students that come to Lutheran high schools? Who are the students that you serve? Tim?
Yeah, I'll speak to that a little bit, especially in particular at Lutheran North. I think we're a little bit different than probably many of the Lutheran high schools across the country because while many of our students come from Lutheran elementary schools and we want to be an extension of the Lutheran system, preschool, elementary, and be a link before they maybe go on to colleges and universities of the Lutheran nature, we're attracting a lot of students from the community that are good Christian families, but not necessarily Lutheran. And I think sometimes people see the sign on the road that it's Lutheran North or Lutheran South, and they think, oh, you have to be Lutheran in order to attend. That's wonderful if you are, but again, our unity is in Jesus Christ. And so, we're reaching out into the community in a broad, range and finding, all sorts of different Christians who are looking for that caring, Christian community that's also a great academic environment. Specifically at Lutheran North, we're very diverse racially and ethnically. We have a strong African-American population, a strong white population, and we're working in a little bit of an Asian and international population that Brian mentioned earlier that we think really adds to the diversity as well. Anyway, with a group like that, when you start bringing lots of different people together, certainly socioeconomically, it spans, you know, a wide range. And so there's just a really neat community feel at our schools.
Brian?
We have some of the same. Oh, we have a lot of similarities. Mm-hmm. 3 years ago, I counted. I sat down with a world map, and we had young people who had been born in 16 different countries.
Wow.
And St. Louis is a resettlement area. We've done some work with Christian Friends of New Americans. And so we've got kids, you know, we have kids from Eritrea and Albania and a bunch of Asian countries and New Guinea. And it's just been really, really interesting and exciting to watch the kids share between the two, between all the different cultures.
Who needs an exchange program when you live in St. Louis?
Well, if you're willing, I mean, there's some commitments. I mean, people who come to this country are not usually the people who are on top of the economic heap necessarily. They're wonderful people. They're hardworking people. But again, through Christian Friends of New Americans and some of our own supporters, we've been able to help a lot of folks who just need a leg up and whose kids, given the opportunity, are going to do spectacularly well at the next level and in life.
And we CFNA is a great friend of KFUO, and we get to keep up on a lot of the things that they're doing, and including scholarships for students to attend Lutheran schools. And that's a great service to folks who are settling here in the U.S. to have a welcoming arms like that and say, we're glad you're here. We want to help you teach your children, not just academically, but we want them to hear about Jesus too. What a great opportunity. And to have supporters of your schools as well, to support students that come to us who don't have the resources to go to that school. You mentioned during the break how important it is to you that the doors be open to every student, you know, that to not turn someone away.
As a Christian school, it's absolutely incumbent on us to try to make sure that our schools look like heaven is going to look, full of rich people and poor people, and from every tribe, nation, people, and language. And the pursuit of that can be costly. And we're very grateful to the people who support us. A lot of extremely generous people help us to serve kids who otherwise could not have that opportunity. And it's a real blessing.
Which brings us to that question that every parent's going to ask. Sounds like a great school. Sounds like a great option. Knowing that for those who can't afford it, there is support available. It might take some work to find it and to work together to make that support happen. But typically, what does a typical Lutheran high school education look like when it comes to cost? With about a minute and a half left, what does it come down to typically?
Our cost per student is about $11,800. Our tuition is lower than that, and you can tell who makes up the gap. It's our donors and the people who support us. People who come pay everything from the full freight at $11,350, down to basically $110 a month at the low end for people who are really needy.
Any other thoughts on, with about a minute left, any other thoughts that you want to share with someone who might be thinking Christian education, Lutheran high school might be a good choice for them? Final words with about a minute left. Tim?
I think my advice would simply be, you know, competition is frankly very strong for schools in St. Louis. We would just ask you to come in the door. Come take a look. Let us tell you what we've got going on. But more importantly, let us show you what's going on in the halls. And I think you would be impressed. The benefits of what's happening day to day in our schools is just outstanding. And you just get that sense. You walk in the doors and you feel it in the halls, the good things that are happening and the Christian ministry that's taking place.
Absolutely. Come and see. Call us. You can come in and shadow any day that we're open. Come and see.
Come check it out.
Yeah.
And there are Lutheran schools around the country. I mean, St. Louis has some great Lutheran schools, but there are great Lutheran schools around the country. So check out a Lutheran high school in your community, too, and see if it might be a good match for you. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate you coming in and spending some time with us. Tim, good to have you here today.
It's our pleasure. Thank you, Andy.
Brian, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Andy.
Coming up tomorrow on Faith and Family, we're going to talk with some Lutherans in public education. What does it mean to be an educator in the public school system as a Lutheran? Does it make a difference? Stick around for Moments Assurance up next right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.